Welcome to the Quartering Podcast for Tuesday, the 21st of March. First up, Stephen Crowder just broke the internet. Louder with Crowder does what we thought was impossible.
Wanted to formally welcome Stephen Crowder back to the internet after a couple of months off, finding a new home, and that home ended up being a little place called Rumble. And you might be asking yourself, why is this so important? Rumble is a thing that most people in the center or center right sphere of content creation has known about or have known about for a very long time. And that's true. Except now, the game is different. The game has changed. And through the effort of obviously the team over at Rumble, as well as Steven Crowder, people like Dan Bongino, Russell Brand, and other gets, the platform has actually surpassed YouTube for many conservative content creators, and not just surpassed it, but gone so far as to show that it is an absolutely viable, not alternative, viable home to content creators. And I don't think I can underestimate just how, or undersell, just how important this is for content creators. Because while there are many things that need to be improved on Rumble, there are many things that are constantly improving, the world is not long for anyone who goes against the grain on YouTube. And if there is not a viable alternative, a place to go for people who are unwilling to continue to take on all these variously wildly changing rules, I mean, I would expect the next big exodus from YouTube will be like the 2A and Pew Pew YouTubers. The rules are ever changing on YouTube in terms of just using certain tools, we'll say, to keep yourself safe. And the things that you can show, the things that you can't show, seem to change overnight and with no notice. They're getting strikes, they're getting demonetized. Rumble actually is paying out earnings to creators. They have advertisers. I mean, Coffee Brand Coffee even advertises there. And there's a lot more that was revealed today in some of the numbers that were shared that prove that Steven Crowder's bet on Rumble will be the tide that helps raise all boats for all content creators. I want to share why betting on an alt tech platform as opposed to hosting his own content is actually extraordinarily beneficial to all content creators just by looking at some of the viewership. If we look at yesterday's stream, his big I'm back stream, okay, telling everyone about, Mug Club's return, 607,000 views on YouTube, which is, just to put that in perspective, his return stream on YouTube had 200,000 additional viewers than his average viewership, in the months before. Or if you look at kind of, it would depend on obviously the topic, but 700,000 or 800,000 was not wild. So I would say, okay, 600,000, slightly lower than normal, but still an extraordinarily big audience over on YouTube. Until you look at this, his stream on Rumble has 2.03 million views. 2.03 million total views, with concurrent viewers close to 200,000 that I saw multiple times. Today's stream from 3 hours ago already has 944,000 views, where on YouTube it has 109,000. Now, the views are generally a little delayed when a live stream goes out, but this is just the beginning. If you look at some of the tweets about this yesterday, Rumble tweeted, Crowder just surpassed 100,000 live concurrent viewers on his opening show with Rumble. In fact, some people said there's somewhere around 120, 150, 160,000. Here's 160,000. It's insane. And the interesting thing is, yes, bro's at 175,000 at this point. So close to 200,000. I suppose at one point, but this isn't the only thing that's trending on Rumble. See, there are other plays that Rumble has made. And again, if you're a content creator, there are a lot of people who say, oh, well, yeah, it's easy for Crowder to do that. And that's a fair criticism to make. But there are eyeballs here for the taking If you look here, they have gaming. You know, the thing is, the reality of Rumble right now is gaming content, you know, knitting content, stuff like this is not, you know, killing it on the platform. But that's not exactly, it's not like they don't want it to. It's just that the big creators that moved over are all political commentators. If we look at, you know, Russell Brand's channel, if we look at a lot of these channels on the homepage, what's really happening is a lot of these are going, you know, getting huge numbers in the live category. In fact, Rumble's power slap stuff, you can see Steve Will Do It video has crossed 1.1 million views and is trending number one worldwide. And this is a video that says, but losing $500,000 with Dana White at a casino. Yeah, well, I can imagine that's probably an interesting one. You know, almost 200,000 viewers on that. If you look at, this isn't just a Steven Crowder thing. You can see their CEO, Chris Pavlovsky. PowerSlap broke 100,000 live viewers, charting into one of the larger streams Rumble has ever seen. I also think it's the largest stream on the internet right now. Many didn't see that coming. Dana White did. Now, I don't know, you know, 125,000 for PowerSlap. I don't know. I think PowerSlap's like a CTE manufacturing machine, but some people like to watch it. And if the people are that are participating in it, they enjoy it, then I've got literally nothing to say about it. But it's not just that. It's the picture. This is just so much bigger than just Crowder's success. By the way, let's just see. I think I'm going to tune in to see what Steven Crowder had to say here. Hold on a second.
If you drink coffee, you're a racist. And that's because coffee has its roots, according to AFRU. As far as I know, this is not an acronym. Colonialism. It's rooted in colonialism, with AFRU very confidently stating, the global coffee company was created through colonialism, the white supremacist system under which European countries invaded, subjugated, and exploited the countries of black and brown people. Now, I know that sounds absurd, that we should have seen the writing on the wall with the original iteration. Max Schmelinghaus, that was one that should have, that's on us, that we missed it, but the exception does not prove the rule. If you're listening on audio, that makes no sense. Now, if you drink specialty coffee, you're an even bigger racist. See, here's the thing. We could find common ground, because if you drink specialty coffee, you're a hipster and everyone wants to beat your ass. But in this case, they try and say you're a racist.
Well, you don't need to be racist to be shunned from community.
Yeah, and I do drink specialty coffee.
Oh, yeah.
I get a coffee company coffee from Jeremy. Yeah, it's great stuff. So
that's right. Steven Crowder just endorsed my coffee. That's right. Coffeebrandcoffee.com. I would absolutely love if you tried it out. You can get your coffee with or without racism. Just say, let me know in the checkout. But that was a shout out today. So I wanted to thank Steven for that. We're right here, based right here in the United States. We roast our own coffee. We have more than a dozen. Actually, we have 15 different organic teas too, including some detox teas that we just rolled out today. We have everything from your light roast, dark roast, to flavored blueberry cobbler, hazelnut churro, French toast, salted caramel. We even have decaf, cold brew, double calf. We have our coffee club and so much more. K-cups. I'm sure that Steven Crowder would absolutely love it if you tried out Coffee Brand. I mean, hey, it's the coffee he drinks, right? And I would really greatly appreciate if you tried us out. Promo code TheQuartering. Like I said, if you don't like coffee, we have 15 different teas now, including these brand new detox organic, the Relax Blend, and the Licorice Organic, which are brand new to our lineup today. So if you're a tea head, you know, check that out. My point is, when you look at the views, and by the way, thank you everyone who already does support it, but also thank you if you consider trying it out today. It supports the channel. It's extremely important. What this all means is a viable alternative is so close. We've never, as you know, I've promoted for a long time all these alt tech platforms, right? BitChute, Odyssey, Rumble, VidMe was one for a while. There's been a million of these like fly by night creators or platforms for video, but now we have, you know, Rumble with PowerSlap. We have Rusty Rockets now, Russell Brand having the first pay per view comedy special available on Rumble only. Comedian Russell Brand is pushing back against corporate media by launching Rumble's first pay-per-view comedy special titled Brandemic. Brand touts the special as more than a comedy show. The comedy special launched on Rumble's subscription-based platform Locals on Monday before becoming available for a pay-per-view option on Wednesday. Rumble is the natural home for my new comedy special, Brandemic, Brand said. According to a report, ask yourself, could this be special on the mainstream media? And did it originate from a lab or a market? And this is, of course, his hilarious, quick-witted approach to controversial topics is what makes him a top podcaster on Rumble and Locals, Rumble chairman and CEO Chris Pavlovsky said. So you've got Russell Brand promoting it. You've got a national commercial airing. I mean, this is the time, if you're a content creator, you have this commercial coming from Russell Brand.
Don't assume that free speech means the right to freely hurt people's feelings. Why would you use free speech to hurt someone when we can use free speech to bring people together? This is a time for true unity. What if free speech revealed that we are more united than they'd ever dare imagine? It's time to break free. Rumble.
Yeah? So they push their app, they push their, obviously, the free speech messaging. I'm working with Rumble right now on a pretty big project, which I had hoped I could tell you all about in early April, but it's probably going to be mid-April at this point, given I've been kind of sick this week and it's hard to get that extra 5 hours of work in getting that done. What Crowder has proved now is he's been able to have an even larger audience over on Rumble than he does have on Louder with Crowder. And some of the memberships, the numbers, I feel like exactly somewhere they were shared, somewhere like 60, 70,000 people had signed up already to be in his paid mug club thing. I thought I saw that somewhere on the internet. This is great. This is a great move because it really does help all creators. And by the way, you know, shout out Daily Wire's on there too. Daily Wire's producing the content on Rumble as well. I'm hoping that in 2023, I can finally have a Rumble exclusive show, you know, that I'm working with Steven on, I'm working with Rumble on. But this is what it takes to actually have viable alternatives. These platforms can't just continue to exist of just only the dregs and people that have been banned everywhere else. They need people to take a risk and to jump onto their platform. And that's what he did. And it seems to be working out quite well for him. So congratulations to Steven Crowder, Russell Brand, Rumble, and independent content creators and fans of free speech everywhere.
And next up, Eagle destroyed after hitting the wall and pretending it's men's fault.
The life of an influencer is perhaps one of the fakest you'll ever experience. Its entire existence is about pretending that life is awesome, presenting the absolute best version of literally everything you do, oftentimes completely faked, completely staged. These van lifers, everyone thinks, are just so organic and just happen to be some like super pretty girl in a $200,000 custom van that suddenly popped on YouTube. Things of all this nature. But it's also a sad, desperate life in which men generally don't want to be involved with. There are some men out there, gymfluencer boyfriends who go film their girlfriends at the gym and things of that nature. But this interview of a 37-year-old single influencer is perhaps one of the most brutal cell phones I've come across in a while. 37-year-old single influencer, sick of waiting for the perfect partner, enjoys solo honeymoon. Yikes. Now, I don't know who took this picture of you. Perhaps it is your camera boy. But Love Thyself, an influencer who is fed up being single, decided to take herself on a solo honeymoon and vowed to stop depending on men to make her happy. Well, it doesn't seem like it's doing very well. Brittany Allen revealed that in 2022, she traveled to London and froze her eggs before booking her dream vacation in France and Italy, reports Jam Press. Since then, Allen has been living her best single life. I think everyone has days where they're like, I want that, the deep romance, But mostly, I don't feel pressure to get married, said Alan in a YouTube video. I heard this quote that once, that if you got married at 50 to the love of your life, you could be with this person for 30 years. My longest relationship was around 5 years, and that felt like forever. So 30 years to be with the love of your life makes me feel so happy I'm not in a rush. Well, this is what you would call an Olympic level cope. If you weren't in a rush, then why did you freeze your eggs? Now, modern medicine certainly has gotten different over the years. Now it's not uncommon for women to have kids. Didn't Mariah Carey or something have a kid at 50? It's not that uncommon to have kids later in life, especially if you have money for high-end pregnancy care, but you're never going to get to see your kid grow up. According to Alan, her outlook on life comes from her parents. I really have supportive parents, realists, and they're just like, Britt, we want you to experience everything in life, so go have fun. Alan said that her parents told her, marriage is amazing, kids are amazing, but it's not a perfect solution, it's really hard. Not everyone gets a perfect marriage, or you know, perfect children. According to the influencer, her parents encouraged her to live her life to the fullest. Apparently that means scuttling around alone. Despite loving her life, the Seattle native is not above worrying over societal pressures. My 20-year-old self was completely different. I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, confessed Alan. I was in love with this guy that I knew from high school, and I thought we were going to go in the same town and get married and have kids by 27 or 30, and I would have some passion projects on the side. But I was just going to be a mom and never leave Seattle. But 25, we broke up, and I've gone in a completely different direction. That seems normal. I think she would be in awe and also think it's quite cool that what she thought was true in life is actually the opposite. Anything that you think is going to happen probably won't happen. I don't really know, again, how what you're an influencer of. I don't really... You have 150,000 followers. That's really not enough to make a living on Instagram, I wouldn't think. But a lot of these women... Men too, I would suppose. You know, like Chelsea Handler. This like, oh, everyone look how happy I am because I'm childless. I'm so happy. I'm constantly telling you how happy I am that I don't have kids. Seth Rogen. Oh, I'm so happy I'm not a father. I'm just so happy that I have to keep telling you that I'm so happy about it. Egg freezing in America is insanely expensive, and only really big tech companies or big corporations usually cover it. Otherwise, it can be around $18,000, so I couldn't afford that. Alan revealed that the first time she tried to freeze her eggs, the medicine didn't work, and she eventually had to stop taking it, but that didn't deter her. My body wasn't picking up the medicine correctly, so I went on a me moon. Worked for her. She's aware that one size doesn't fit all. Now at 37, I see a lot of women go in different paths. I just can't scroll in bed in the morning. I can look up flights this week if I want to go somewhere. Well, it doesn't sound like you can. Doesn't sound like you have a ton of money. And quite frankly, if you read some of the comments, in other words, she hasn't grown up yet. Being a parent is not about traveling the world, seeing what's there, nor is marriage about falling in love. It's about two different people supporting another, growing and maturing together, and nurturing. I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, you see a true partner is not simply an extension of one's preset fantasy. The perfect partner doesn't exist. It's in the veil of tears. Compromises are part of the deal. Now, I'm not saying that everyone like one size fits all, but this is a lonely life for these influencers. Here's another one. Influencer Bella Varelis roasted after complaining about rent increase. Get a real job. Look, I get it. A lot of people might say, you know, reading other people's articles on the internet and providing commentary on them isn't exactly a real job. So I generally stay away from telling people to get a real job. But I would also argue that being an influencer, literally taking your picture and applying filters to it, is not a job. A former reality star who was forced to leave her Sydney, Australia apartment after her landlord jacked up her rent is now being roasted online. Bella Varelis forged a career as an influencer, coming in second place in the network's 10's 8th season of The Bachelor. But after the 28-year-old revealed that she had to leave her two-bedroom unit in Sydney's swanky Vaucluse When her landlord increased her rent by $267 per week, she's now copping heat from frustrated Australians. On social media, many claim Bella, who regularly shows off her designer purchases on Instagram, could have easily afforded a rental increase if she reduced her unnecessary expenditure. Well, this is the thing. It's another extension of you're forever young, forever a kid. I see it in, you know, some of the ways that my friends parent their kids. And obviously, I got nothing to say about it because you don't tell another person about how to raise their kids. But I see a lot of them, you know, their kids are 13, 14, 15. They don't want them to work. You know, oh, don't work. You know, I had to work. It sucked. I want them to enjoy their life. A lot of them don't want their kids to work. They're 13, 14, 15, 16. Oh, I had to work when I was young and it sucked. I don't want that for them. I understand the inclination for that. But I also look back at all of my various jobs. I started working the minute I could at 13, washing dishes, working at an office supply store, you know, being a line cook, all these things. And all of it sucked. Coming home reeking like onions after I had to chop all the onions for the onion straws or the haystack onion rings. Hated it. But it taught me work ethic. It taught me the value of a dollar. It taught me, you know, that if you want something, you have to earn it. And that when you earn something, it feels so much better than just having it handed to you. I'm not saying that every parent's got to rush their kid out to work. I'm just saying that there's value in that. And that, you know, you making your kid rake the leaves once a week isn't really teaching them responsibility. Like it is be showing up to work on time and having other team members rely on you and showing up ready to go to work and, you know, putting your time in, working overtime, working shifts that you didn't want to work, but because you have to. This kind of stuff. This is the modern, again, another person that never grew up, another influencer who just never grew up. A post detailing her plight, which saw her rent $267 a week go to $760 a week. By the way, that's extremely expensive rent. That's $3,000 a month rent. What are you renting for $3,000 a month? You should be buying. Again, another child's decision. If you're renting for $3,000 a month, you should strongly be considering buying. Maybe she should get a real job, one user wrote. Feed full of designer bags as if she's rich and she can't even afford rent, another said. As another stated, I'm confused by influencers who flaunt on going on holidays with their Dior bags, complaining about rent increase. That would have been a breeze to pay, but I guess even 100,000 followers doesn't mean money. Well, I will say that that is true. Having a bunch of followers on social media does not mean that you're making a ton of money. You know, I have 250,000 followers on Twitter. It doesn't make me any money. You know, I have 100,000 followers on Rumble. It doesn't earn me any money. You know, this kind of stuff. I mean, it does when I sell my coffee or I have an ad read or something like that. But, you know, there's not a one-to-one ratio there, especially if you're just another random mediocre-looking woman posting pictures that are heavily filtered. And the funniest thing was like, yeah, I feel for her. A lot of people say she's since updated her followers on the move, explaining why her new apartment doesn't feel like home. She's grateful. Wow, I mean, it must be tough living in a $3,000 a month apartment. I suppose that's probably a tough life for an influencer who has to wake up and do literally nothing all day.
And next up today, Donald Trump to be indicted tomorrow. Secret Service prepares his handover as 36,000 police deployed.
Well, well, well. Looks like whatever breaking news service you might follow, hopefully it's me. By the way, if you haven't yet, subscribe down below and make sure you click that notification bell so you actually get notified when I upload. There's several outlets now reporting that the indictment of Donald Trump is now imminent to happen tomorrow. Now, there was some initial reporting about all of this that led to speculation that it may have happened next week. To me, it is obvious. It is painfully obvious that the entire thing is set to smear Donald Trump. It's a wild overreach of our justice system being weaponized against a political opponent that they clearly fear, and this will ultimately backfire. Donald Trump is not going to jail for this. It's just not happening. People act like every time there's a chance that this might happen, they forget that Stormy Daniels sued him, I believe, twice and lost both times and had to pay Donald Trump. This is the weirdest overreach that I've seen our judicial system have here, and it's clearly because they're afraid. This on top of the idea that you know, we have Ron DeSantis. You know, many people do and like Ron DeSantis, but him having some pretty big missteps, I think, in his handling of all this. This is from Alex on Twitter. Donald Trump is expected to be indicted tomorrow. Secret Service to make plans for his surrender and appearance in New York court next week. This via the Daily Mail. Trump will not be arraigned this week. Former president is expected to be indicted tomorrow, and Secret Service will make plans for his surrender and appearance in New York court next week. A source familiar with the proceedings exclusively told Daily Mail on Tuesday. What was it, the attorney general? All 36,000 NYPD officers are in uniform and on notice for the deployment after Trump called for his supporters to protest his imminent indictment. Well, I mean, the showing has been weak, but I would say that it's because there are many wary. There are many that feel like he abandoned his base that has been locked up for an inordinate sentences from J6. There are people that are worried about potential glowies, bad actors trying to kind of make things escalate things. There's a lot of reasons why all this is happening. So there will be no arraignment this week. A source familiar with the proceedings told Daily Mail, the former president, who is currently in Florida, is expected to be formally charged tomorrow after the Manhattan District Attorney's Office will reach out to Trump and his Secret Service detail to make arrangements for his surrender. Now, again, he's not going to prison for this. Anybody who thinks that is delusional. Meanwhile, it's all hands on deck in New York Police Department and Metro Police Department, as all officers on Tuesday are expected to be in uniform, ready for anything in the wake of the potential indictment. Officials in New York City and Washington, D.C. are preparing for possible unrest and demonstrations following the former president's plea for his supporters to protest in response to potential indictment handed down by Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg over hush money payments made to Stormy Daniels. Trump 76 said last week he is expected to be arrested on Tuesday, but law enforcement told Daily Mail that an indictment will likely happen on Wednesday at the earliest. NYPD internal memo obtained by CNN shows that all officers are to be in uniform and prepare for deployment Tuesday. Meanwhile, Daniels also beefing up her security after her attorney said that she received concerning messages. Law enforcement officials tell CNN that there are currently no credible threats in New York City, even though Tuesday is a high alert day. Washington Metro Police are also preparing for protests, but the U.S. Capitol Police isn't currently tracking any direct or credible threats from Trump's protesters. I imagine they're going to stay home. You know, NYPD is the largest police department in the country with 36,000 current officers and 19,000 civilian employees. This week's memo suggests that all 36,000 officers are expected to be in uniform and on standby for deployment today. Many lawmakers and politicians, both sides of the aisle, have said no one wants a repeat of J6, with Republicans claiming that they don't expect the demonstrators to turn bad, but warn instead of a political circus surrounding any potential indictment. On Monday afternoon, the NYPD met with Secret Service and Chief of Public Safety for state court officers with decision to ramp up security around the courthouse starting Tuesday morning, a law enforcement official told DailyMail.com. However, the source said the indictment isn't expected until at least Wednesday at the earliest, and that Trump likely wouldn't even come to New York this week. They had their meeting and discussed a whole bunch of stuff about putting extra lighting out there. Now they're going to put more barriers out there and send their special response teams in. The NYPD is going to do what they can when the United Nations comes to town with stepped up security, they added, but they don't think it's going to happen this week. I like how they just, he's such a terrible criminal that they just get to plan for whatever they want. The indictment may happen, but they don't think Trump comes this week. I'm told there's an additional witness who's going to testify on Wednesday. So if there's an indictment, it's not going to happen until Wednesday or Thursday. So they think he probably comes next week. I mean, Trump, of course, declared he is a victim of Stormy Horseface Daniels extortion, saying he's being targeted by a series of horrible radical left Democrat investigations. Daniels also feeling the effects of Trump's possible looming arrest, as her attorney, Clark Brewster, told TMZ that her client has received vitriolic messages on social media. Oh, no. Not that. But here is ultimately what the fallout is, and this is exactly what I suspected it would be, is that you know, Trump v. DeSantis is a no-win situation for Republicans. Unless they can join forces together or, you know, pass the torch or whatever the case may be, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has now dropped to the lowest support in GOP polls as clashes with Trump turn nasty. The Morning Consult survey found that 54% of potential GOP primary voters support former President Donald Trump, who announces candidacy in November. Slightly less than half of them support Mr. DeSantis, who is yet to announce his candidacy at 26%, his lowest level. The Morning Consult began tracking his numbers back to December 2022. DeSantis has faced criticism for both establishment Republicans and Mr. Trump in recent weeks. Last week, DeSantis sparked outrage among some in the party when he responded to a questionnaire from Fox News host Tucker Carlson by calling the battle between Russia and Ukraine a territorial dispute. Mr. DeSantis said that it was not in our national interest of the United States to support Ukraine. Well, I don't know if I disagree with that. 49% of all voters say that supporting Ukraine against Russia's attack on the country is of vital interest to the United States. Only 37% of potential Republican voters said the same. By comparison, similarly, also, let's go down. Conversely, the former president has also turned his gaze towards the governor of his state. During a speech in Davenport, Iowa, Mr. Trump tested out his nicknames for DeSantis, such as Ron DeSanctimonious. I mean, I don't really understand or care. That's not a great nickname. But then he goes on, look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a prawn star to secure silence over some sort of alleged affair. I can't speak to that, he said. But all I can speak to is if you have a prosecutor who is ignoring crimes happening every single day in his jurisdiction, and he chooses to go back many, many years to try and do something about some sort of hush money payments, that's an example of pursuing a political agenda. But since then, Mr. Trump and his supporters have repeatedly criticized the governor and one-time protege of Mr. Trump, with Mr. Trump lobbying a crude-phobic insult towards him. Yeah, I mean, I definitely can't say that I'm really happy with the way that DeSantis has reacted here. I don't know. I suppose I'll read the comments down below. I would have liked to see a little more working together. But that said, you know, Trump has been busting his chops pretty nonstop. So it's going to be interesting if the indictment really does come down tomorrow. This is just more political theater. You see, this Senator Lindsey Graham says that the Trump arrest would destroy our country. Senator Lindsey Graham, the ranking member of Senate Judiciary Committee, is warning that the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who's just trying to get famous, by the way, arresting President Trump would be terrible. It's going to turn our country into chaos. It's a bunch of BS, he said on Fox and Friends interview. You've got a prosecutor before Bragg, Vance, take a look at the case and pass on it. You're the U.S. attorney in New York. Say, I'm not going to do it federally, Graham said, describing the lack of interest among other prosecutors in charging Trump over $130,000 payment his one-time fixer Michael Cohen made to Stormy Daniels. Graham said that Bragg is under political pressure to prosecute Trump over the claim, which resurfaced back in 2018 because his predecessor had come under criticism from former prosecutor who oversaw it. I mean, nobody actually wants to push this forward. This is all just a distraction. You know, this is looking over here. You know, nobody's talking about how bad Joe Biden is leading us right now. They're talking about how insane this is. They're talking about Trump. We're talking about this indictment. I mean, it's like a lot of people, you know, congratulations on your next term, Mr. President, breaking this is an election interference. 322, obviously, because it's all a charade. You know, I would argue that, you know, he's not going to jail for this. They don't even keep criminals who end other people's lives in jail there. Okay. So all this is going to do is galvanize his base and remind everyone just who the real enemy is. And I'm not sure that that's what they were hoping for.
And next up today, she's had 300 partners and shocked she is still single.
But the normal news cycle a little tilted right now, a little stale. I thought I'd try a good old-fashioned reaction video. And in this video, apparently we have a guess the body count video from Cut. And essentially, what your body count is, you know, how many people you've laid with. at a certain, you know, particular time. And it's an interesting conversation to have. These videos are set up, you know, tailor-made to be reacted to. But essentially in the beginning, they bring, you know, a bunch of people in to try and guess exactly, you know, what their numbers are. It takes, you know, let's, before we get to the women, you know, let's take a look at the fellas who are guessing.
Hold a sniff out a fellow hoe.
Here's a list.
I'm going, 300? What type of OnlyFans model is this?
We got a virgin in the midst.
Okay, then there's a 16.
So there's what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 women. One of them is at 0. Good for her. Another one is at 300. Now you might be thinking these women must be in their 80s. But I regret to inform you that they are not. We have some women here who are, one woman who is clearly pregnant. Okay. So she's definitely not the 0.
Yeah, clearly.
Initial thoughts?
If I had to pick,
some are cute.
Ooh, don't say
would
that.
Would you like to start?
One of these women is at 300. Now, my guess is it's a setup, and it's not either of the two obvious ones, the pink-haired one or the other one with the, I don't know what these are, jewels or whatever. It's probably this one here I'm going to go. Well, let's see.
Hi, what's your name?
Nisha.
Nisha, I'm Bob.
Nice to meet you, Bob.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, so, you look so uncomfortable.
If you saw me in a bar setting or maybe at the club, how would you approach me?
I would make eye contact. Stare at the lips, make them feel nervous, stare back at the eyes, and then look away. And then if they want to come.
This is the classic fucking...
Okay, well, so we talk about this. Let's get to the actual numbers, because I think it says a lot about society. By the way, men and women.
Stuff. I don't want to say, like, mentally unstable, but, like, they typically get around a little bit more, so.
He's talking about her brightly colored hair.
Okay.
What's your sexual orientation?
Bisexual.
Bisexual. So do boys and girls count for your body count?
Yeah.
Ooh, that raises the bar. So I'm gonna guess 70.
I'll go 70.
70.
They all guess 70.
I don't think I'll torture you by asking you why. I'm just gonna let you have it.
She's clearly more than one because she's pregnant.
Okay, now I've made you angry. I'm sorry.
How many baby daddies you got?
3.
Whoa. 3 kids, 3 different dads.
A great relationship with either parents. They get around a little bit more. I'm gonna go with 16.
What kind of porn do you watch?
I'm not talking.
All right, so, babe. Yeah. Good, we're on the same page.
You seem well put together. You don't give off, like, post-hoe vibes. I'm gonna go with 9. 9.
4. I'm getting this vibe like you're not gonna...
Let's get to this.
The titties.
This one, yeah, I'm gonna go 300 on this one probably.
Outside.
How old are you?
18.
18? If you're a little older, I'd maybe ask for your number, but still too young.
Oh, please.
Yeah,
dude.
You're pretty old.
Do you feel comfortable asking her what kind of porn she watches?
Comfortable would be a stretch. Credits or something?
I like to bust it open a little bit. Bring me 16.
2.
Virginity and
okay, where's the answers here?
What
my
is it?
My tip? I heard tip.
I think I at least got one.
Let's find out. Raise your hand if he guessed it correctly.
He got 0.
Nobody,
right.
Yeah.
Whoa!
Wow, just one.
I'm gonna have everyone swap their numbers.
Okay.
300?
You're a virgin?
I knew that was a misdirect.
Wow!
Wow.
What caught you off guard there?
The 300. I mean, that's impressive.
That's not impressive. That's gross. And by the way, for the other 300 men, that's gross too.
Can I ask you a question first?
Why
did
course.
You think I had 16?
Because the pansexual thing.
What number did I give you?
70. Do you think that fits me? 16?
No.
So what made you think I was 70?
you look like maybe you'd want.
70, I don't even have. This is my natural hair color.
70? Like, how much, these guys are out here, by the way, just slamming whatever they, like, let's get to the, I need to hear about this one here.
What do you think of my number?
You're 300? Holy balls.
Yeah.
What'd you do to accomplish that?
I went through like a period where like I just kind of wanted to like have a roster of pretty boys, and then occasionally it was like girls. I just had a lot of fun in my 20s.
I love that. So, with men and women.
Yeah. I really like my boyfriend, so I kind of hope that like...
Oh, that he'll be forever?
Yeah.
300 is
yeah,
it.
We're done.
Plus one.
300 men. First of all, I guess I'm going to go with the, you know, in the eye of the beholder. And also the fact that men are gross and they're going to, given the opportunity, they will sleep with anyone, anytime, anywhere. I mean, look at that police, the police force that they all ran through that one girl.
Does this number surprise you?
A little bit, I guess.
The only thing I say no to is like, sex.
So don't be a victim of that, okay? Just do it when you want it and make sure that he...
You left.
It was
83, you could have given me 83. You guessed pretty well for me.
Okay.
The job I have, most people guess a lot higher.
So are you in sales or what kind of...
It's like Hooters. It's called Twin Peaks, but it's...
I've been there before. I've been there before. 300, I don't think that is something I would be proud of. I don't think that would be something that I would advertise. But this is the WAP generation. And, you know, I also want to say, fellas, the many fellas, probably at least one of those 300 watches my videos just based on a, you know, cross-section of society. You're gross. All right? You're gross. All right, first of all, you know, I don't know, maybe this woman has a great personality, but the fact that there's 300 guys, now the question is how many of them?
Okay, good.
Hello.
You would want to, you know, be meaningful, I guess.
You're strictly...
You seem well put together. You don't give off, like, post-ho vibes.
I'm getting this vibe like you're not going to... mess with anybody just for entertainment. You would want
to. I mean, obviously they dress these people to try and misdirect. I mean, obviously.
Duh.
300. I don't really understand. That would be a lot for a lifetime. How long is somebody active for? Maybe 30 years, roughly. That'd be 10 different partners a year, every year for 30 years. Hello. Is that right? Yes, it is. 10 different partners, that's one different per month for 30 years. The fact that she did it all before whatever, before she was 18 or before she was 20, that's a lot of dimp. That's a lot of like, I mean, you have to actively be seeking out pipe all the time.
Just one.
I'm gonna have everyone swap their number.
Wow!
Look like maybe you'd want to have a lot of partners.
Me giving you 70.
About being pregnant and the, you know, sort of.
I mean, 70 is a lot too, but again, I'm not letting the fellas off the hook here either. I guess I'm from a different time. Like, I don't know. Like, these people are all pretty young. I don't know that would be something I would really advertise.
Oh,
yeah.
What'd you do to...
I'm curious what the breakdown is, male, female.
Accomplish that.
I went through like a period where like I just kind of wanted to like have a roster of pretty boys, and then occasionally it was like girls. I just had a lot of fun
occasionally
in my
20s.
I love that. So, with men and women.
Yeah. I really like my boyfriend, so I kind of hope that like...
Oh, that he'll be forever?
Yeah.
300.
I love that. Let's just say 300 by 25. Okay, that would be, I think, be a I'm being a fair assessor. That's 30 a year for between 15 and 25. That's one every other week, a different partner every 14 days for 10 years. Now, if she accomplished it by she was 20, that would be 20. Like if it's only over 5 years, obviously it's a lot rougher. I know that these shows are keyed up to, you know, you could almost tell it was always going to be misdirection. 300 was always going to be her probably, and this girl is always going to be a low number. But I don't think that this is, now this is a channel that, you know, this is their shtick, you know. Guess which men make the most money. Guess when, like, you know, have you ever, how many, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's like a clickbait manufacturing. But I don't know. 300, I feel like there's probably something wrong with society there. Even, I got to be honest with you, if your number's in the 70s and you're in your 20s, that's probably too many. But I mean, hey, I guess get your clap all you want. No regrets. And all that, not something I'd advertise.
And last up today, Little Mermaid actress blasts the original actor and calls critics broken and pathetic.
Oh boy, here we go again. Now we've got Halle Bailey diving in, giving an interview on her take of Ariel, Little Mermaid, and why it's better than the original. Of course, this is being used by both sides to cast stones. And in my opinion, look, if you don't like that Hollywood is race swapping and gender swapping all these characters, just don't pay to see it. That's literally the only thing you have to do. You're not missing out on anything. There isn't a single movie on the planet being produced right now that anyone has to see. The Little Mermaid is another one of those. If you're a parent and you want your kids to have something to enjoy, make a movie night. Maybe even go to the theater and buy some popcorn. I do this all the time. Go get popcorn, bring it home. Do a double feature at home. Watch a Little Mermaid, watch a Lion King, something like that. You don't have to give them more money. Better yet, rent the movies from your local library for free or get them on eBay for cheap. Halle Bailey dives right into Hollywood. Now, I don't have anything against her whatsoever at all. In 2023, the year 2023 promises to be a behemoth for Halle Bailey, the younger half of musical duo Chloe and Halle, a reoccurring player on ABC's Grown-ish. Bailey will not only be starring in the live-action version of The Little Mermaid, but plays young Nettie in the musical film of The Color Purple, coming to theaters this December. The 20s don't really care about her life and how she got to where she is. I want to get to the quote. Apparently, they need to go all of that, pull the trailer from The Little Mermaid drop, flooding social media with reams of black women and girls saying they've crying over the ginger, dreadlocked, brown-skinned representation of an iconic Disney princess. It also released all the race trolls from behind their screens. Seeing the world's reaction to it was definitely a shock, Bailey admits, but seeing all the babies' reactions, all the black and brown young girls, really tore me up emotionally. She adds, "It's honestly been such a crazy ride. And genuinely, I feel shocked and honored and grateful to be in this position. A lot of times I have to pinch myself and be like, is this real life?" The connection led to Bailey brainstorming a way she could bring some of the black mermaids she's been introduced to into a possible project. And one day pour into young black girl folks as she's been poured into. Now, what's interesting here is inside this quote, she says, "At the first time I ever watched Little Mermaid, The Little Mermaid was around age 5. Ariel was her absolute favorite princess, and ever since an initial release in 1989, Disney had weathered persistent criticism about the movie's sexism. Bailey promises that her Ariel is more nuanced." Oh, well, thank God. I mean, certainly the first one was a real garbage fire, so I'm glad that Halle Bailey came through to save The Little Mermaid. "I'm really excited for my version of the film, because we've definitely changed that perspective of her just wanting to leave the ocean for a boy," she says. Except she didn't, she wanted to leave the ocean before she ever met the boy. That's like very basic stuff. Like if you had been such a huge fan of the movie, you would know that. If you had watched it at all, you would know that. It's bigger than that. It's about herself, her purpose, her freedom, her life, and what she wants. Yes, because she will be a strong, independent, barren woman. As women, we are amazing. We are independent. We are modern. We are everything and above, she continues. And I'm glad that Disney is updating some of these themes. What? Now you can see, Halle Bailey says her version of Ariel is more nuanced than the original Little Mermaid. We've definitely changed our perspective. And then you look at anybody who's seen the movie, right? Notice how she said perspective. She wants to change how other people think about Ariel. But she doesn't think that herself, because so many of these parents love to say Ariel only left for a man, when she did a whole song about the human world before she ever even met Eric. 8,800 likes. Another J-Law moment. She's describing the original movie plot, LOL. I hate these newbies coming in, copying other people's homework, and then acting like they did it all themselves. I mean, like, everybody in here is so hilarious. No offense, Halle, but wasn't that part of Ariel's character in the original? It wasn't just about Eric. I mean, listen to the part of Your World again. There's plenty of parts of the song where she's dreaming about being on land and doing human things, not just being with Eric. But this is the narrative, right? This is the narrative that, you know, all the previous Disney princesses were dumb tropes and bad for women, even though every young girl grew up worshiping them, according to Hollywood. You could see this. I'm sick of this narrative. In the 1989 movie, Ariel is actually very interested in knowing the human world way before Eric, and it's not a crime to fall in love with somebody. 30,000 likes. I mean, that's exactly what this is. Like, that's a quote. That's what you said. And then she tries to run damage control by saying, in the original story, these themes and qualities about Ariel were always there. You'll just see more of that side of her in the film, I think. I'm not against falling in love, y'all. Duh. Hello, Limon. But that's not what you said. That's literally not what you said. Now, again, this is like one of those things, like, I couldn't care less about a Little Mermaid movie other than sincerely hoping it is a box office flop. But I don't think it will be. I think that if you look at the number of times that the Little Mermaid trailer has been viewed, it has set a record for Disney. Even with all the dislikes, it certainly was going to have huge marketing budget and huge push from the press telling people that if you don't pay to see Little Mermaid, then you're racist. If Olaf, voice Josh Gad, defends Little Mermaid star Halle Bailey as new trailers flooded with dislikes. Imagine being so broken and pathetic in life that your chief concern is the skin color of a make-believe singing mermaid. What's great about this is that it's so such a hilarious self-own, because that's why the Little Mermaid skin color is different. It's because some weirdo inside of Disney said that it had to be that way so that, I don't know, for a modern audience. You see a lot of the comments too, right? Imagine being a company that is worth billions of dollars and not having an original idea and putting out a movie that no one wants. Trailer looks awful, Josh, but if Disney wants to keep destroying their IPs in a vain attempt to push an agenda for a non-existent audience, go right ahead. And you know these people, again, like, all you have to do is swap the races and know that this is, you know, they pretend that it doesn't matter. But if you took a historically black character from Disney and made them white, there would be a fiery but mostly peaceful protest all summer long. And, like, you calling feedback pathetic, don't think that that's really, really a good look. And again, Halle Bailey says her Ariel will be more nuanced than originals. She won't just leave the ocean for a boy. But again, this is somebody who, I don't know, doesn't know, that has not seen the initial movie. I really don't know how else to describe it. And then, of course, you get these articles, you know, The Little Mermaid star Halle Bailey says the remake has updated original's more problematic themes. 1989's Little Mermaid is rightfully considered a classic because some feel that certain aspects of the tale are aggressive at best, and maybe even outright sexist. For example, in the animated film, Ariel's sole reason for wanting to leave the ocean is to preserve Prince Eric. No, it isn't. San Francisco Gazette. Have you see again? Like now you get these narratives, right? All you have to do is watch the initial movie or even listen to some of the songs, and you'll know that this is 100% untrue. That this is, you know, she falls in love, but only after she wants to see the land. Saving him from drowning, Ursula strikes a deal that will give Ariel legs at the expense of her voice, but she's unable to win Eric's heart. In 3 days, she must spend eternity under the sea, under the sea witch's control. There are other issues. Ariel is supposedly only 16, but basically told to use her body to go after Eric. I mean, again, it's just like, could you be more disingenuous with the actual movie? And it's like, I feel bad for that, you know, for people that grew up and really liked The Little Mermaid. And I don't hold any ill will to this person, Halle Bailey. She probably does think she's changing the world. She probably does think that, you know, taking a historically white character and just making him black is somehow some sort of big creative decision and big to do, to be worshipped for. But quite frankly, it's not. It's the laziest form of diversification, and it's not really something worth applauding. It's not something worth paying for. Sure, now, you know, little girls can have a Little Mermaid doll. They can pick up 85% off on clearance that's black, and somehow that's supposed to be a win. I'm not sure I would be calling people pathetic, but of course that's Disney. That's their whole marketing model now, is to do something stupid and then say, oh, well, look at how triggered you all are. Better go pay to see our movie to prove you're not racist. Hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, make sure you leave a like on it. We'll talk to you again real soon.